Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I'm really glad Mike Likes It is over. And it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
We could start Mike Likes It back up if you want to.
Son of a gun.
All right, so Kevin, did you want to discuss the marathon runner now, or did you want to wait
crazy.
Till later on that?
I'm fine if we talk about it now.
Does that mean we have to discuss the murder thing with G-Bag?
Yes, maybe. All right, just real quick.
All right.
There's this Olympic distance runner named Rose Harvey. She was in the Olympics. She finished 78th in the marathon with a time of 2 hours, 51 minutes, and 3 seconds.
That's amazing.
She put out her post on Instagram, and approximately 2 to 3 miles in, she got a stress fracture in her femur. And she kept running. She said,
stress.
Yeah.
Just a fracture.
Not a whole fracture, just a stress
fracture.
Yeah, those are different.
She said, in any other race, I would have stopped. And there were so many moments I thought I couldn't take another step. The downhills were hell. She ran another 24 miles after she got a stress fracture in her leg.
She didn't know, though.
She said she knew something was wrong.
I know.
But she didn't know it was stress fractured.
Yeah, that's true.
She just thought it was stress.
This hurts really bad.
Just like the Vikings didn't know how bad it was for J.J. McCarthy until they operated, and now out for the season.
Yeah, like with Teddy Bridgewater. What is it about Vikings quarterbacks?
What is it about
they never know until they open up their knees?
The last Michigan player who was good was Charles Woodson.
There is no Michigan player that's been good since then?
I don't know. It feels like they are all really good in college and then just don't do good.
Is that just because the Cowboys keep drafting them?
Well, that's my number one team I follow. And then I wasn't crazy about J.J. McCarthy, and then he immediately ends his season.
Yeah.
From the 817, David from Fort Worth, I ran a half marathon, no fracture, just stress, and I almost gave up.
Yeah. See? Almost everybody gives up running a marathon.
What keeps you, when you have that kind of pain, what keeps you going? Like, what are you telling yourself that's like, it'll go away, it's not actually it hurt? What are you doing in those moments?
If they were like, if you finish your event, you get a clear medal, then maybe I would finish it. But if if I was just finishing it for the sake of, I'd be like, people will understand.
That'd be funny if they gave everybody invisible medals.
They're like,
fourth place. Here's your invisible medal. That's why Kevin kept going, because he just wanted them to put on the invisible medal.
Exactly.
Well, that's a real injury.
Just don't lose it.
But Jeff Francoeur said that he faked an injury because Bobby Cox told him to. Let's listen to Jeff Francoeur tell this story.
I've been lucky enough. I've met President Bush, President Obama. I was not nearly as starstruck as I was when I met Tiger Woods for the first time. But what the coolest Bobby Cox story is, guys, is you know Bobby during spring training, loved us to play golf, loved this. We were playing the Yankees at 1 o'clock on a day game. And I was 22 years old. I'd been playing for 3 months as a starter. I was not going to go up to Bobby and be like, hey, I need the day off, right? Like, but he comes out to stretch and goes, Smoltz, he said you had a chance to play with Tiger today. There was a 150 tee time. And I'm like, Bobby, I'm fine. Like, I'm playing today. He goes, no, I'll make you a deal. He said, after your first at bat today, run through first base and kind of rub your ankle a little bit like you hurt your ankle.
Wow.
And he's like, in 2 days, we're going to Bradenton. And you know, Tim, you have to have whatever three starters make a road trip.
Sure.
And he's like, I hate Bradenton's infield. I don't want to get any of the guys hurt. So if you go to Bradenton, I'll let you go play with Tiger today. So sure enough, man, we're playing the Yankees, 12, 13,000 people in Orlando. I ground out the first at bat. I run through first and I start, you know, rubbing my ankle. And you know, Bobby, he waddles out there with his cleats. And he checks on me. I run inside. I literally throw my golf clothes on. I didn't shower. I get to the golf course, and they're on the first fairway. So I hit my tee shot. We end up playing 27 holes. And about 4:30, my wife sends me a little thing that there was an update that said Francoeur day-to-day with a high ankle sprain.
Kind of looks like Sean and RJ laughing in the background.
It kind of does. Kind of does a little bit. That's fun. And I think it's pretty cool of Bobby Cox to recognize, like,
yeah.
How often are you going to be able to do these once in a lifetime things? I will also say playing a baseball game at the pro level is still kind of a almost once in a lifetime. You don't get to do that career all the time. Not everybody gets to do it. But being able to go play with Tiger Woods, your manager's like, hey, man, that's a cool thing. You go do that.
That is super cool.
I know that Bobby Cox, listening to some of my teammates that got to play for him, especially let's say in the late 90s through mid 2000s, spring training, they were like, there's no other spring training like this. Like, it's you get yourself ready. There's going to be morning stretch and the throwing program and our routines of doing fielding practice and all of that stuff. But you know what you need to do to get ready. Now, he had Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox, Chipper Jones, Javi Lopez. You just keep Andrew Jones. Like, he had a lot of veteran guys who had been through a lot of seasons and had known how to get themselves ready. I'm sure he didn't do this in like 91 through like 94 as that team was growing and developing. But they said, hey, you feel like running today? Do running. You don't feel like running today? Don't run. You feel like doing weights today because it'll get you better? Do weights today. But he's like, you know who you are. You know what gets you ready for the start of the season and for the grind of 162 games. And they were winning the division literally, I don't know, it was like 15 or 16 years in a row they won the division.
Wow, that's the Corey Seager approach, right? I'll do my thing.
Yeah.
But Mike, we've been to many spring trainings with the Rangers.
Right.
And I just don't know all their stuff. I don't feel like anybody's walking around demanding anything out of guys. It seems like they all kind of know what they're supposed to do.
I think spring training has changed a lot, probably in about, I'm going to guess about 2000. Derek Holland would be a good person to ask this because he was there in spring training, let's say 09. I don't know, like about 14 or 15, the year 2014, 15. I feel like it changed a lot into more individual spring training rather than team spring training.
Okay.
And in a way, I think that's good. In a way, I think it might be a little bit negative. I think iPads and all of these things in the dugout has disconnected teams from being teams. I think there's very little team stuff going on in baseball. I can speak to baseball, but I think in other sports too, we see a lot of more individual stuff rather than team stuff. But I do think it's good for the individual. Hey, you got to get ready this way, where it'd be like, no, I'd be like, hey, I was throwing 60 and 80 pitch bullpens with breaking balls and everything. They're like, doesn't matter. Today, 8 minutes, 70%, and you're throwing 30 fastballs and 8 changeups. And you're doing it for a week. And you're like, I'm going to lose the feel of my breaking ball. I'm going to lose a little bit of velocity because you guys aren't letting me air it out. And they'd be like, doesn't matter. Everybody's doing it the same way.
Okay.
And now they're like, dude, you want to come in and you want to air it out because you've been airing it out? Let's see what you got. If you want to ease more into it, like David Robertson's, like, we interviewed him, right? Yeah. He's kind of like, I've come to spring training and I ain't picked up the ball yet.
Yeah.
I'll be just fine. My goal is to throw 1 to 2 innings every other day. I will be fine in these 6 or 7 weeks getting myself prepared for April 1st to do that job, yeah. You know? So I think it's more individualized. It does. I like it more this way, but I can see where people could knock it going, we've lost a little bit of the team aspect of it.
By the way, the texts have come in, Mike. They said Tom Brady is from Michigan. Also, Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson's good.
Oh, that's right.
He's a good player. So those are...
They named two.
At you're willing to two. Concede now?
Yeah. One in 2000 and the other one in 2021. They have had two guys.
I'm sure there's an offensive lineman somewhere. There's got to be at least one offensive lineman out there.
Back in the day, they could produce running backs. Now, they ran the ball 80% of their plays, like Tim Biakabatuka, Tyrone
exactly
Wheatley, Rodney Harrison. They were producing running backs.
I was thinking of Tim
Amani Toomer. He was a good wide receiver, but we're talking about 90s. That's back when Michigan was great at football.
They just won the national title.
I was watching the big-eared guy. He said that they're not going to make the top 12.
Paul Feinbaum?
Yep.
Man, good figuring.
He has big
that
ears.
Out.
Mike's huge right about
ears.
That.
He has the biggest ears in television.
Huh.
That's not bad.
I don't know.
Oh, somebody has bigger ears?
I'm Mickey Mouse.
He's not a real person.
Uh-huh.
Eric Chiafalo is now stepped into the studio.
No, talking about Michigan
with
football?
Purpose, ladies
I'm not
and gentlemen.
Sure what's happening here?
Pay some respect to the size of Andrew Siciliano's ears.
Oh, there you go. That's who I was thinking right there.
Is he
Thank
on
you.
NFL Network?
Yeah, yes. NFL Network guy
and Olympic guy.
Yeah. He does the Sunday ticket thing or whatever when they're going around the league.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. That's good stuff.
The red
right
zone.
There.
The red zone.
Yeah,
the red zone.
I don't have that channel.
Yeah, the red zone.
I tell you, on Sundays you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Whatever they put on the main channels, they put on.
He's the main guy, but on the like the red zone channel. It's Hansen, right? Or it's that guy. He's good. Scott Hansen. That dude's good. I enjoy the way he does it, especially when they go to the witching hour. It's always fun. Speaking of football, Kevin, I'm not saying that fantasy football like is the way to go with things, but whenever you're looking at where rankings are, it's easy to go to the rankings on fantasy sure. football and go, okay, that kind of puts you in an idea of where these guys are. I have two different lists. The safest players to pick after the fourth round this year.
Okay.
And the riskiest players to pick.
Ooh.
And I want to start with the safest players to pick after the fourth round.
Of
here's why.
Of course you would.
Yeah, well, and here's why. Amari Cooper. If he's in the fourth round, yes, of course he's a safe pick. But then they get down on this list, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, usually a lot of people aren't picking quarterbacks until late anyway because of the... Like, you're trying to get running backs and wide receivers early in drafts, and then you go get your quarterback. But they have Dak Prescott, Jake Ferguson, and yes, Ezekiel Elliott as safest picks after the fourth round.
What?
And here's what they say. Now, they did say round 9 for Ezekiel Elliott is a good place to pick him. So, and I don't disagree with that. He's going to get a lot of usage. And he did receive the ball a lot out of the backfield for the New England Patriots last year. But they said Elliott might not be as fast or efficient as he once was, but we can't ignore that he's in line for a big workload this season. Yeah, he shares depth with Royce Freeman and Rico Dowdle, but they got 96 carries over the last three NFL seasons. Last year with the Patriots, Elliott not only led the team in receptions, he led the Patriots in receptions? That's how bad Mac Jones was? But he also showed he still had juice left in the tank.
Heck yeah.
Starting the final five games of the season, over those five starts, he averaged 16.4 fantasy points, which ranked 10th among running backs during that span. And he finished as a top 6 running back in 2 of those 5 weeks with an RB1 overall performance thrown in.
And he's wearing number 15.
This is where it's tough to distinguish between fantasy sports in real life. That's an amazing number to me because here are his yards in those games. 68, 25, 27, 39, and 54. One time, he averaged more than 3.1 yards per carry. Yikes.
Three, though. You have three of the safest bets after the fourth round.
After the fourth round. Yeah. So they're like, I guess.
Now, here's what I really wanted to get to, though.
Zeke is back.
The 6 riskiest players to pick in the fourth round.
JJ McCarthy.
The riskiest players. And they do have the overall safest and the overall. Oh my God, what did I just do?
overall riskiest.
There we go. There we go. I got back to it.
Don't draft J.J. McCarthy.
Well, J.J. McCarthy's definitely...
Keeper league.
Devon Achane.
Oh, yeah.
He gets hurt.
But Drake London. Nico Collins. DJ Moore, who last year like jumped off the page. You were so happy about that. But him with Caleb Williams now is becoming a risky thing because you have a lot of question marks. Justin Jefferson from Mike has become a thing.
That's who I'm going to say. Yeah. Now, not after the fourth round. I still think Justin Jefferson's going to go. If people are smart, it'll be more late first or like when it snakes back. Because you have to be scared to death now
that yes.
Justin Jefferson, you're going to be like, dude, like six catches for 58 yards is not what I drafted
you
for.
He went number one overall last year in my fantasy league. And this year, yeah, it'll be people will be going with other people before they get to him just based on that. But here's where I was very interested. C.J. Stroud. One of the top six riskiest players to pick in fantasy football
is
this year.
Is the concern the sophomore slump?
That is, yes. There, like, it is the excited to watch him grow with an explosive Texans offense. Lack of rushing production is going to mean that he's going to need to throw the ball 35 or even 40 touchdown passes to come through on what's going to be a lot of people are going to draft him high. You know, because he had a really good year and everybody's like looking for one of those quarterbacks that you can get. That you kind of sneak out there and snag him. But C.J. Stroud, I think a lot of us believe he's going to have a really good season. And I'm not sure exactly what risky is because when it comes to wins, I don't think he's going to put you in position to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
And then Dalton Kincaid was on that list too. And that's where I was kind of as I was reading about Dalton Kincaid and what their offense kind of looks like now with him and Dawson Knox out there, it started making me think, are they going to bring things in a little bit for Josh Allen? When it was Gabe Davis and Diggs, they knew they could chuck the ball downfield because those guys could run like that. And I do wonder if they're going to be like, no, we're going to work our way downfield. We'll strike big at times, but we're not going to do it as often. We're not going to put Josh Allen in position to throw as many interceptions and have as many turnovers as he's had. We're going to give him more opportunities to work our way down the field and score the football.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL top players 25 and under. How many Cowboys make the cut and which team is really on the rise? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, earlier today, The Athletic put out the top NFL players 25 and under. Who do you think is the best NFL player who's 25 or younger?
Micah's under 25? Or
he is. He's second okay. on the list.
Wow, that's really impressive. Are rookies involved in this?
Sure. CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud is number 8 okay. on the list.
Is I'm throwing this out, Corey. You might know ages more than I do. Justin Jefferson is right on that border of
Justin Jefferson is number 1 in all of the land.
I don't know football.
So the top 5 goes like this: Justin Jefferson, Micah Parsons, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Patrick Surtain. Now, or Surtain, if you're
bright
fancy.
In Dallas.
Yeah, so the Cowboys have 2 of the top 4, and
where's Sauce on that list?
I will have to check all on right. that. But yeah, the Cowboys have 2 of the top 4. He's number 13. And they're one of a handful of teams that have multiple players on the list. Would you guys like to know about any other players? Or do you think another Cowboy is being shortchanged?
Is St. Brown on that list?
Oh, are you talking about
Smith? Or did
Smith?
You say St. Brown?
Tyler Smith? Are you saying he's shortchanged?
Just curious. Amon-Ra St. Brown is number 10. So the rest of the top 10 goes like this. Penei Sewell, Tristan Wirfs, CJ Stroud, Kyle Hamilton, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're your top 10.
That's fair.
You think so? Okay.
I mean, maybe you'll say somebody I'll be like, oh, they didn't put him high enough.
Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, 11 and 12. Then Sauce, Aiden Hutchinson, who, you know, Mike, he went to Michigan. And then
Sauce Gardner did?
No. Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, Aiden Hutchinson, yeah. And then, I was like, Sauce Gardner, where did he go to school? Why am I? It's not Cincinnati, right?
Isn't it?
Is it? I'm going to say Cincinnati, but I don't.
Look at you, Mike.
Correct.
The other thing that I thought about Sauce, I know this is the way my brain works. I don't want my nugs oversauced.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what they're saying at Wendy's.
But his sauce.
Saucy nugs. And I'm like, I need sauce.
Yeah.
But I don't need it oversauced.
The
sauce. And they're selling
sauce.
The oversauce, but that's, you know, neither here nor there because we're not at Wendy's.
And yet you still talked about it.
But Buffalo Wild Wings has the sauced ones.
Somebody's using
those are very good.
There's a sandwich place using Buffalo Wild Wings sauce now. I think it's Jimmy John's.
It Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, they're not. They don't have a sandwich shop.
Yeah, they have sandwiches.
They don't have their own sandwich shop.
Oh, like Jersey Mike's?
Yeah. The Jersey Mike's uses the juice.
Oh my gosh. It's so
now,
good.
When we talk about Tyler Smith, Kevy, do you think, hey, Corey, do you think throwing in Kevy at the end took it over the top?
Didn't help.
Yeah, it didn't help.
Well, I mean, like to throw him over the edge.
You're going to send him out that window soon.
Does he hate Kevy more or Kev?
Kevy.
Okay.
All right. So here's what I want to throw out there. There are 5 teams with multiple players on this list.
Cowboys.
The Texans. Yes. The Cowboys have 2. The Chiefs have 2. The Jets have 2. The Texans have 2. And the Detroit Lions have 5.
Jahmyr Gibbs, Penei Sewell.
We just told you one of them.
St. Brown.
He's at Hutchinson. He's
trying to think of the defense of Hutchinson, and I can't think.
Oh, they drafted the kid from South Grand Prairie. He is a super bust.
Sam LaPorta.
Oh yeah, LaPorta. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, tight end.
He might be one of the top tight ends to take this year.
Wolchuk's
still upset about that.
He is number 18 on the top 25 and under for the NFL.
Remember the dude they drafted 3rd? What was his name? I'm sorry. I thought he was going to be great.
Yeah,
he just wasn't good.
I did too. And you mentioned he was from South Grand Prairie. Son of a gun. That is going to bother me now.
Is his career over? Is he even playing?
Man,
like he got hurt.
I saw that kid in high school. Dang it, this is really going to bother me.
It was a different name. I know that sounds weird, but it wasn't like Tony Clark.
In what year? I'm sorry. What
2020, I believe.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's just move on.
People type it out.
What does that say about the Detroit Lions that they have five of the top 25 players under 25? Like, I know I've joked about
they're
how that's
Corey's team. They're in trouble financially in a few years.
I guess. But before that, wouldn't you be like, holy cow, here we go?
It means, yeah, it means they just went to the conference championship game, and they're likely going to be in that situation for a long time. And Okuda is the name. I mean, that's exactly what it says to me. They built that with a young core already. They had picks to work with. They weren't a good team. They were working on that. So, yeah, man, as long as they can keep it together and continue to add little pieces that make them better, it tells me that you should fear them.
Now, I want to shout out the one person from the 903 who said, I'm pretty sure you're talking about Kerry Wood.
I played against Kerry Wood.
Jeff Okuda was
He's
what
the fourth
we were
pick.
Looking
Okuda
for.
Was third pick.
BJ Johnson.
Trent McDuffie.
And Kerry Wood never lived in Grand Prairie. He didn't go to South Grand Prairie. Irving. He lived in Irving, but they all got fake addresses for the 1995 team. What? But UIL, we called them out at Duncanville, but UIL still let them play, and they still lost to whoever they did in the semifinals because they pitched Kevin Walker instead of Kerry Wood.
I've definitely seen that happen before. Trent McDuffie, number 15 on the list. I'm going to give you the rest of the list. Jalen Waddle, Trevor Lawrence. We'll get back to him in a second. Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jalen Carter. That gets you to 20. And then the rest of the top 25, 25 and under. Garrett Wilson, Bijan Robinson, Puka Nacua.
I was going to say, where's Puka?
That feels low. Creed Humphrey, that also feels low. And Will Anderson Jr. Trevor Lawrence, I'm not saying he's not still a good player, but for somebody who was the generational quarterback prospect, this feels like quite a fall from grace to be like, well, on the list of players 25 and under, you can be 17th. And maybe he's like, I don't care. I got
paid. I'm with you. I thought he was going to be unbelievable. He was the one thing that really impressed me is his junior year. He was calling the plays.
Yeah.
They were letting him be part-time offensive coordinator. When we talk about Caleb Williams, when yesterday, or I can't remember if it was yesterday or not, but you guys have talked about this before, kind of the Oklahoma system is you just look to the sideline and they give you some note cards and then you call out the play and then you just first read, throw it, get rid of it. If the first read isn't open, then run the ball or whatever. Like it's not very complicated. And so I thought, boy, Trevor Lawrence wins the national championship his freshman year, competing for it in his second and third year. And he's smart enough that they're allowing him in a championship window here.
Yeah.
They're allowing him to call the plays because he's that smart. And then Clemson head coach?
Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo Sweeney's like, I've kind of never had, like, he's like Deshaun Watson, really great quarterback, really smart, all these things. Like, this dude takes it to another level. I'm like, dude, if this dude takes it to another level than Deshaun Watson at the time,
yeah,
how unbelievable is this guy going to be? And it, 1 year, it's produced something somewhat special, and that's it.
Now, people are asking about Trayvon Diggs, who is 25. He does not turn 26 until September 20th. He did not make the list.
What about Tyler Guyton?
Those are the only two Cowboys on the list. So any other Cowboys you name, they did not make the list.
No Marshawn Nealon?
No.
He can't be on the list.
You don't know that.
If Tyler Smith didn't make the list, Marshawn Nealon didn't make the list.
How old's Brandon Aubrey?
I think he's too old for this list. I'm sorry to tell you.
Oh, man. I don't know how old Brandon Aubrey is.
All right.
Do you think there will be, who do you think is most likely to crack the top 20 next year for the Dallas Cowboys who's not on the list?
Tyler Smith. Gotta be Tyler Smith.
Will CD will graduate the list, right?
I believe
so, 25.
Yeah.
So
maybe Mozzie.
I mean, look, if I'm serious. I heard your reaction. I understand that reaction. If Mozzie were to crack this list, then
it
feels like you're coming off a phenomenal season.
I'll bet you $10.
I would not like to take that bet.
That he will not get a second contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
I will not take that bet. I think that is potentially a very savvy bet.
Corey?
I just don't know how you can get in shape now. If you like, I don't know how you didn't come into camp in shape after last season.
Yeah.
Then maybe it was a little injury. I don't know. I just don't know how you can't be, how you're that gassed right now. Doesn't make sense to me.
And yes, for people asking, Deron Bland, not on the list. He's also 25, so he wouldn't make the list next year, but I feel like Tyler Smith would be...
No Kalen Carson, huh?
My definite pick. No, there are no other Cowboys on the list. And I know we're excited about these players from training camp, but we should probably wait, right? Until
what?
Do something in a game, like a real game.
So I'm in practice.
Okay, that is true. Now, can I take you to another football story?
No Overshown?
Heck yeah.
No DeMarvion Overshown either. No other current Cowboy is on the list.
He's the one doing it now.
I know. It is a maddening turn of events. Chris Jones. No, because I never meant to say somebody else.
But no Cooper Beatty, huh?
Chris Jones. Oh, yeah, he made it. Chris Jones has an interesting thought for the justice system. Did you see the lady who got sentenced to 9 years in jail for stealing wings?
Uh-uh.
Now, on the surface, that sounds outrageous. Until you find out she stole 11,000 cases of wings, and she was a cafeteria employee at an elementary school for nearly a decade, who got busted for stealing all this over the span of 19 months when she was in charge of ordering the food, when eventually school officials discovered, you know what? This is way past what our food budget should be. Mm-hmm. It took them a year and a half to figure it out, but they eventually figured it out. So she got 9 years in jail. She stole about $1.5 million worth of wings.
What? From the school system?
Exactly.
Who's she feeding? The whole neighborhood every night.
Selling to the wing market.
Who's on at the wing market?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have not been, so I couldn't tell you. Chris Jones.
Gosh, that guy over there.
Tweeted out, I'll pay for the wings that she stole to get her free. Do you think there should be a justice system loophole? Some would argue there already is. Where if you can pay for whatever was stolen or damaged or whatever, that you can just spring that person out of jail like a Monopoly
card. Yes, I do. There are some of these things.
Wow.
This is the wings, the school lady. I really do need to look at more of this, though. Like, what was her life like? You know, was she struggling? Was she well off? You know, like that's...
Hold on. Wait.
If she's well off, I really have a problem with it.
What if she was struggling? At what point?
We need to help her out more here in America.
At what point, though, are you like, she's probably not struggling anymore because she's now stolen into the hundreds of thousands of dollars of food.
She ate that every night for dinner is what I'm thinking. You know, that's how much she was struggling. She was like, I'm hungry.
So
I'm lunch lady.
In 10 years, she ate 11,000 cases of wings.
Yep. Because that's all she
Corey, could
get.
I don't even know if you could eat 1,000 cases of wings
chicken,
in
dude.
A year.
It's chicken, bro. Like, that's all it is.
Almost
you
dying.
Eat chicken every night. Nobody died. Here's the situation, though. When we were in middle school band, our band hall was right next to the lunchroom. And they would bring those things in and drop them off. They would bring all the stuff in and drop them off. One day, we saw the Snickers ice cream bar box sitting there, a whole box of Snickers ice cream bars. And me and my buddy Cody and a couple other people ensured that we were able to steal said box, and we stored it in the band hall where we didn't think that it's going to melt, Kevin. Guess what happened? Mr. Foster found out.
Mm.
And Mr. Foster found out who it was that did it. He brought us all out of class down to the band hall and made us eat every single one of those Snickers bars and then pay for them too.
Oh.
And we did
and
not
said,
feel
you're
good.
You're banned from coming in here.
Yeah.
Get it?
So Kevin
is in the band hall.
Obviously, this is why
I use the word banned in a different way.
Hey, Reggie, if you're listening, will you let me know if they have any other open spots in Houston?
You don't want to go to Houston.
You like the humidity.
And that's why I think that she ate all these wings, because I was punished that way once and I had to eat all the Snickers ice cream bars, which, by the way, were delicious, but I had a terrible tummy ache.
Okay. Now, I hate this.
She's working at an elementary school cafeteria. She's probably not well off, Kevin, is what they're suggesting.
Okay, but to a point. eventually, when you've stolen $200,000 of wings, you need to figure that out.
How did nobody know?
I don't
know. Nobody was seeing her walk out with a bucket of wings.
It took them 19 months to realize they were over budget. So if you ever wonder about like the budgets of school and giving, just throwing more money at the problem, maybe that doesn't help. And from the 903, Corey, she didn't have a plan. She was just winging it.
Because the wings is what
she stole.
No, I get it,
Mike. I got it.
Punchline had wings in it.
Your joke was funny. The one Kevin read.
I mean, can you imagine, though, if she did have like a smoker and she was selling these during the weekend,
mm-hmm.
like she'd go to some random parking lot. That's good money. And heck, your product's free. You have to sauce them. Just don't oversauce them.
Uh-huh.
Wendy's. I don't want them too saucy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you tie it together.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
Do you right see here. How
I... That's how you tie it
Max,
together.
Remember that in life.
Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Never better, Hagee. How about you?
Excellent. I'm doing well, and I wanted to see if I could dive into a criminal justice question with you guys as part of Crosstalk.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
Our wheelhouse.
Lumumba Sayers, who is a former UFC fighter. Are you familiar with this?
Lumumba?
Lumumba.
No, I have no idea who this person is. Lumumba. It sounds like a ball sacking.
He is alleged by the Commerce City Police Department to have killed somebody. The person he's alleged to have killed is alleged to have been involved in the murder of his son. Now, if you've ever seen Is It Time to Kill, where Samuel L. Jackson stands up, do you think
McConaughey
that there should be some sort of exception that, like, vengeance killing? Like, if you,
absolutely.
If they killed your kid, then, like... I don't have to wait for the court system.
I mean, you could wait for the court system if you want, or you could just kill the person. You know, and as long as their killing was unjustified, I believe yours would be justified. You know, now if they killed your son because your son had it coming, you know,
then you have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would factor into my decision.
Which might help if you just let the court proceedings handle themselves before we fully get to the.
Doesn't that
I'm
feel like as a parent?
Back.
It takes years and years in these court proceedings.
It feels like as a parent, wait anymore.
It's a lot
it would
of
be
stealing.
Tough to go, well, he had it coming. Like, that would be hard to accept as a
wasn't
parent.
The,
right?
One of the parents in the Michigan State case, the doctor with that, didn't
Do you
he
remember
say,
that?
Give me 5 or 15 minutes alone with him. They said no, and he just broke and said, all right, I'm going after him anyway.
He stood up, and then he goes, I can't do that. And he goes, okay, just 1 minute. And they're like, no. And then he's like, the hell with it. And he, like, ran. He got tackled by the bailiffs. The bailiff's doing his job and stuff, but I bet a lot of people could watch that and be like, yeah, if you would have let him slip by, that wouldn't have been the worst thing ever. I mean, the
At least
bailiff,
a few punches.
The bailiff has to do his job, but that is something that crossed my mind. All right, I just wanted to...
I think there'd be a justifiable rage in there. Like, if you saw it happen and it was an instant reaction, right?
Yes.
Then I think 9 times out of 10, the judge would and the jury would see it your way. But then consider that as a parent, that feeling of rage would never leave you.
Yeah.
I am constantly in the state of a crime of passion, if you will.
Well, it's like Cain Velasquez. Same thing happened to him, right?
Yes.
Mm. But this was like a guy that he chased down who assaulted his son.
And I, it was a family member. I didn't know if it was a kid or a family member that was underage. And so they were like, well, he was carrying a gun. And then you hear more about it and you're like, well, the allegation is
attempted murder. I don't
know
what I mean.
It was a young person and he was doing inappropriate stuff. I know a lot of people will be like, don't take the law into your own hands. And I get that. But I just wondered if it was your kid,
yeah,
if you'd be like, I don't have time to.
It sounds like we need to stop messing with UFC fighters' children.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
That is a good takeaway from this. That really is. All right, the Dallas Mavericks are going to open the season against the San Antonio Spurs. Do you care at all? We know that. Do you care at all about that, or do you care about the renewed push to get people interested in the in-season NBA tournament? Because Klay Thompson and the Mavs, they're going to play Golden State. That has already gotten a lot of play, and people are like, oh, and it's part of the tournament. Do you care yet? Because I have not been able to muster up the ability to care.
No. Yeah, I could care less about that. Very excited to see how the Mavs start the season. You know, in the finals, now you have Clay and Kyrie as sort of veteran leaders. I want to see this team get more focused in the regular season.
Yeah, and then just the idea of seeing, like, what's the second year level up for Wemby, and how good are the Spurs looking
and even Lively
at this? Yeah, Lively as well, for sure. I'm much more interested in that. The in-season tournament, my gosh, yeah. That's
don't care.
The most useless thing
probably
in the history
will never
of sports.
Care.
Also, the first 20 games, I want to see how Jason Kidd uses, I don't know in what order, Exum, Dinwiddie, and Hardy, how he's using them off the bench or not using one of them off of the bench. Is Kyrie going to be ready for the start of the year with his injury? You know, like, to me, my dad was watching the France-USA game, and the kind of heavy set guy who had a great game for France, he's like, hey, if he's a free agent, could the Mavs? And I was like, dude, the Mavs are loaded. Yeah. Like, there's not an available spot on the Dallas Mavericks. I'm not saying they have 15 premium players, but there's not like a spot to just bring somebody in because there's an open roster spot to compete for. It's a heck of a team.
So this isn't one of those teams that, like, they played above their heads like they did a couple years ago to get the Western Conference Finals, and they're going to fall back down.
I hope not.
It's going to be a tough conference. I mean, at the end of the season, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Oklahoma City, two of those teams won't be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And maybe there is another team that we're like, dang, they got... Whether it's, I don't think Phoenix, I'm just throwing it out there, but like it's not going to be easy to make it to the Western Conference Finals.
But playoff basketball is so much about matchups, and I think two of the last 3 years have shown us this team can play just okay in the regular season, and when you get to the playoffs, they match up in a way. Then you add Gafford and Lively on that. I think they have, like, now the ability to really put teams in checkmate in these long 7-game series. As every series went on, other than the finals, it got easier for the Mavericks as they figured things out. I'm taking that as a sign that they're going to be a very, very tough out in the playoffs for, I don't know, 5-7 years. This is going to go on for a while. I mean, Luka did this even before he had Gafford, Lively, Kyrie, and Klay Thompson. He took a team, you know, to the Western Conference Finals. So I'm, like, more excited about the Mavs and how they can dismantle teams in the postseason, I think, than even when we were in the middle of that run. Just as everything has sort of coalesced and, you know, I have my big picture takeaways, I think regular season could still be an adventure because I don't know if Luka is going to focus. But once you get there, it's going to be beautiful for the foreseeable future.
The big NFL news of the day, because we'd heard about J.J. McCarthy. It didn't look like he would be ready for the beginning of the regular season, or at the very least, he would now lose the quarterback competition to Sam Darnold. But then when they do the surgery, they find out it is a tear. He did get the surgery. He's out for the entire season. That feels like a pretty stunning turn of events.
Very much so. I mean, meniscus is usually, hey, you can come back from that within a few weeks. I mean,
I guess, it's menisci.
The menisci. Sure.
There's two of them.
Because there's two meniscus?
Yeah.
Is? But this is tough, man. I mean, I did see a stat from Ed Werger. Vikings are just one of four teams that haven't had a rookie quarterback start a season opener. So this is maybe just...
Ever?
Kellen Mond.
Cursed. Like,
we should have known.
He's not a rookie anymore.
I know, but I'm saying he couldn't do it. Everybody thought he would.
We should have placed bets that, hey, J.J. McCarthy ain't playing week one.
Yeah.
But I didn't think all season long.
Next time they draft one, that's
crap.
What I'm thinking.
Hey.
I mean, they had Teddy Bridgewater some years ago. They just had, like, Kirk Cousins with the Achilles.
Yeah.
And now you're dealing with this. My goodness.
What does this do for fantasy value of Justin Jefferson? Are you like,
I don't know. I don't know if McCarthy was helping that. I think, like, does Darnold actually help the Jefferson thing at this point in the proceedings? No, I mean, yeah, I hear you.
He probably doesn't. Maybe he's just a receiver that can be good with any quarterback. I don't know. But, hey, the Trey Lance thing, Minnesota liked him, and he's a Minnesota native. So if you actually did want to flip Trey Lance, the Vikings are on the short list of teams that I think would be interested.
If they called you right now and said, we'll give you our 5th round pick for Trey Lance, would you do it?
Yeah, I think I would. I don't think Trey Lance has it, man.
Very easily.
Maybe you could say it turns into a 4th if he starts 12 games or something.
If I could recoup that 4, which they probably really wanted when they were on the clock and were like, man, I'd love to take a running back right now.
Yep.
I think I'd take that back.
I would be surprised if a team wants to give something like that, though, after what we just saw.
And hey, Corey had a good idea.
Yeah. Give him two more games. Give him some confidence.
What if the next couple games are good for him?
Yeah, if that works out, then you do it.
But I'm sure Minnesota would want him somewhat getting into their practice.
Sure, they'd want him sooner rather than later, yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, you know, the Cowboys and Rams are in the midst of that joint practice again, only legal in California. And Broadus is going to join us at 3 o'clock, step onto the tennis courts and do a full report.
What about right off the show? I thought that was great yesterday.
He's going to be watching practice, you know, and today it's going to be an actual real practice.
Okay.
Yeah, not the mock game. The
and
mockery
he's gonna
of
be a great
the
guest
game.
So y'all just going to kill him for the first segment like you did yesterday? Because that was...
we might. We might.
It was entertaining.
That's how he's just a guest on y'all's show. Because he's like y'all show.
Yeah. I enjoyed
that was
first,
jarring.
I enjoyed the first 15 minutes yesterday.
I think we didn't do is therapeutic.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. See if they crush brought us again. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
So like not Marquise Bell. He wasn't on that list.
No, none other Cowboys.
Saucy Nugs. Say it.
Saucy Nugs.
It's amazing how long I've lasted in multiple ways.
Man, that is for damn sure.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!